So this song is a grand total of 32 seconds long by D-Light. You know, Groove is in the Heart, D-Light. And that's all it is Vote, Baby, Vote, and Are You Registered, Baby? That's pretty good. I like it. Tappy Villain is the Supervisor of Elections for Santa Rosa County, and she joins us on Election Day, the big Super Bowl for her profession. Tappy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hey, great.
Happy Election Day.
Happy Election Day to you. All right. So I got lots of questions. You know me. I always have lots of questions.
I'm ready.
Let's start with this. And you always feel free to correct me if I get anything wrong. Early votes are already counted, but nobody knows the results, right?
That is correct. Yes.
Mail
we
ballots.
Had over 66,000 people that voted early.
66,000 out of how many registered in Santa Rosa?
We have 143,036.
Oh my God. So that's
registered.
What, 40%? Is that right, about?
Yeah. So between early voting and vote by mail, where we received over 16,000 so far, we have a 58.17% turnout. In other words, over 83,000 people have already cast a ballot either by mail or going into an early voting site.
That's amazing. And mail ballots can still come in even after Election Day, right? What is it, a week, 10 days?
Yep. So pretty much all vote-by-mail ballots are due in our office by 7 p.m., unless the voter is overseas.
Got it.
The voter is overseas, then they have the 10 additional days to get their ballot back to us. However, that ballot must be postmarked today. Mm-hmm. So Election Day, it must have that postmark. But yes, we will meet at the end, I think it's November 15th, and we will meet and have our final meeting and do our official results.
And that would include military? Ballots, right?
Yep. So, but absolutely. But if they're military, domestic, then you know, in the state,
right?
Those are all due by 7 p.m. tonight. But
it
would be any military member or civilian living overseas. They have the additional 10 days.
One of the things that is, you know, I hate this about our system in Florida, but it just is. We have these primaries that are closed because of the existence of write-in candidates or no party affiliate candidates. And then, you know, you think the election's over because somebody wins the primary, like Rhett Rowell won his primary in District 3, or Bobby Burkett won his primary in District 1, and Colton Wright won his primary in District 5. But those people have not been elected. Bobby Burkett has been elected, right, because the write-ins dropped out. Is that right?
He has. So between the primary and us putting the ballot together before it went to the printer, he had a couple of write-ins that were still in. They both dropped out. So he will not appear on this ballot.
Oh, okay. So people won't even bubble for him. Okay, got it. All right.
They will not. They will not. But Commissioner District 3 and 5, so Rhett Rowell and Colton Wright, they both face write-ins for this general election.
And that's something that I mention that only because, you know, people who want them to be elected, it's just everybody in Santa Rosa County has an interest in this because everybody in Santa Rosa County gets to vote in all the county commission races. You do need to vote for them because they do need to beat the write-in candidates, which will be getting votes maybe some kind. But you might not think they're unopposed. Well, they are opposed just by nobody who's printed on the ballot, which leads me to my next question. Oh. When somebody wants to vote for a write-in candidate, how does that get counted? They bubble right in, then they actually have to write in the name, and then what happens?
They do. They have to write in the name. We obviously, those votes are tallied at the end as well.
By canvassing board?
They have to write in the actual valid write-in, the person that qualified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see a lot of Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, all kinds of creative write-ins. But those would be invalid. So it would have to be a valid write-in, somebody that qualified during that qualifying period, which was back in June.
Right. And if they do that, then is it canvassing board that eyeballs those and compares the name to the list of eligible write-in candidates?
It is. So we will have a report, and our canvassing board will meet here in Santa Rosa. We'll meet on Friday morning to send our first unofficial results to the state. And at that time, canvassing board will look at those valid write-ins. I believe there's also write-ins in the president and U.S. senator.
Gotcha. And the canvassing board in Santa Rosa County is, again, correct me if I'm wrong, you, a judge, and a county commissioner. Who judge and who county commissioner this time around?
Yep. So our judge is Tony Gerard.
Okay.
And the alternate is Robert Hilliard. And then our county commissioner is Carrie Smith. And our alternate is Ray Eddington.
And for obvious reasons, people running for election cannot be on the canvassing board. So that's why it's the two,
correct,
District 2 and District 4.
Correct.
We're talking.
So for instance, when I was on the ballot in the primary, I could not be on the canvassing board. And so the county commissioners appointed my assistant, Michelle Petersy, who was on the canvassing board. In my position, I was only able to act as an advisor to the canvassing board since I was on the ballot.
But now that you've been reelected, you can be on the canvassing board because there's no contest in your candidacy. Right. Okay. Excellent. By the way, congratulations.
Yes.
I don't know if I've had a chance to tell you that, so congratulations. When do you expect results? It seems to me that in the primary, we got early returns and then it was a little bit delayed getting the final results for Santa Rosa County. Are we still kind of maybe like 8 o'clock is what are we thinking, or what's your expectation?
Well, we post them as soon as precincts start reporting. So, you know, if places are busy, if they have lines, then it'll just be whenever, you know, those, you know, when someone's in line at 7, then they obviously can vote. But yeah, we'll, as soon as those precincts start reporting, those will be posted to the website. But at 7 o'clock or very shortly thereafter, we will post all of the early voting results. And then the vote by mails that have already been processed.
Right.
Obviously, because people still have until 7 o'clock to get those vote by mail ballots in. Those totals will be added to along with as Election Day precincts report.
One of my concerns that I have, I'm an Election Day voter. I don't like to vote in advance. I don't have a problem with it. I want to be able to adjust my vote. If I get better information up to Election Day, I want to be able to change my vote if need be. And I have changed my vote on one thing in particular, Amendment 1. So I vote Election Day. One thing I am concerned about is with all of these amendments that are very complicated, I'm worried that there's going to be lines because people haven't done their homework ahead of time. Did you see that in early voting? Are you concerned about that for Election Day?
We saw a few lines in early voting. The few lines that we saw were at, so early voting, the law is very specific of the locations you have to use. For example, our office locations you must use as an early voting site. So our main office here in Milton, we have a South End office we open during election time down at the South Service Center next to the zoo. These offices are small. So
yeah,
we're only able to put up about 10 voting booths in these locations. So these are primarily the places we saw lines. We did not see lines at the check-in stations. We saw them in the voting booths because when people came in, that may have been the first time they saw that ballot. And the ballot is long. And as you said, it does have 6 amendments. We also have a sales tax on our ballot as well. And so, you know, people were spending a little bit more time in the booth, whereas some of the other locations obviously could fit more voting booths, maybe, you know, people, obviously, it's ideal if someone comes in with their marked sample ballot ready to go, knowing exactly, you know, how they want to vote. And some questions we had that came up and always come up is, well, what if I only want to vote for one thing or just a couple of things? Is that going to invalidate my whole ballot? Absolutely not. It counts whatever, it's your ballot, so it counts whatever you vote, as long as you vote it correctly. So if you overvote it, obviously that contest will not count.
But if you double bubble in one issue, like you put in yes and no in Amendment 3, it will only invalidate your vote on Amendment 3. It won't affect the rest of your ballot, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So have you added extra, because it does seem to me, I agree that the worry about being, you know, the backup because people haven't read their ballot. Have you added extra extra booths or anything like that to kind of accommodate that problem?
We have, you know, depending
okay.
on, again, we have some polling locations that are kind of like our office locations. They're tiny.
Yeah.
So if the room allows it, we have added additional voting booths. I tell our poll workers at training, we send out every booth we have.
So gotcha.
We added extra voting booths. We have extra check-in stations at many of our places. And we also, fortunately, have extra poll workers that will be there to help with those lines if there are any, you know, to maintain those lines throughout the day. And then also fill in for others so that they can take a break and that sort of thing.
okay, this is a squirrely question. You know me, I always ask weird questions. If you get to the front of the line and all of the booths are taken and you've gotten your ballot, can you just go like sit down on the floor and fill it out? Do you have to do it at a booth and wait, or can you just fill it out and drop it in?
You can fill it out and drop it in.
Oh, look at that. See, I'm solving problems already. I like it. All right, because, you know, I just imagine somebody thinking, oh, I got to wait. Well, no, you don't have to. I figured that was the case, but
you don't.
Interesting.
And many of our locations also have tables with chairs set up.
Okay.
Some people prefer just to sit down. You're welcome to do that as well. So
very good. All right, I love
that. Up to the voter.
Ballots are not individually numbered, which is why you can't connect the individual with the end result that they voted for. But you do have a total number of printed ballots, which you are expected to reconcile to make sure there were no extras printed or destroyed that you don't know about, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes, we do that all throughout the process, whether it's vote by mail, early voting, election day, it doesn't matter. We know how many ballots have been voted, how many ballots have not been voted. If it's an in-person voting site, such as early or election day, you know, sometimes people will spoil their ballot, meaning they make a mistake, they got to get another one. We account for all of those. If it's someone who comes in and their eligibility cannot be determined at that moment, they would be offered a provisional ballot, which would be counted later or at least reviewed later. And so those have to be accounted, but absolutely, we account for every single ballot once those ballots come from our printer. We do the same thing with our ballot stock. If we have any places, like all of our places during early voting, obviously print, because we have to have ballots available for people. If they go to whatever site, wherever they're at in the county, they have to be able to have a ballot. And so, and then we have a few locations on election day that print, but we account for all of that. So regardless if it's actual ballots, ballot stock, it doesn't matter. Our precinct clerks, they fill out all of that information. At the end of election night, it comes back to us, and then our work really gets started tomorrow. We reconcile everything. And then here in Santa Rosa, we have a public meeting at 2 o'clock with our canvassing board where we sit and we go through every single precinct to ensure that what they received, how many ballots were voted, how many ballots were unvoted, all of that is reconciled.
Very good. Last question for you, Tappy Villane. In Escambia County, we have adopted the practice of blocking off the library book and DVD drop boxes because people are capable of putting their vote ballots into those drop boxes by mistake. It's enough of a problem that we do. You block off the drop boxes in libraries in Santa Rosa County?
We have not historically done that. I've not heard that that has been an issue in all of my time here.
Okay.
Now, I will say we have some early voting sites that obviously are like, they're, you know, community centers.
Yeah.
Or we use our best example would probably be the county auditorium here in Milton. And they do have a drop box for keys. And so we do put a note on that. We don't block it off because people still have to drop off their keys for, you know, various buildings that they've rented. But we do put a note on that saying, please do not deposit your ballot in here.
Well, here we don't have a note. We have a, you cannot drop off your DVD or your book. So, you know, a little bit different take on things here in Escambia County. Hey, Tappy, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for keeping our elections clean and efficient. And we'll look forward to the returns tonight. And as always, I really appreciate the time, especially as you're getting real close to, voting here in about 6 minutes. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrew. And have a great day.
You too.